Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to Souls on Fire on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Fresh off the Big Birds win last night, Mike.
That's right.
It's good to see that. Get your. I know Frank got his Super Bowl tickets already, so we're going to the Super Bowl. It's going to be Super Bowl or bust. But more important than that, ladies and gentlemen, first Monday of Advent, as we begin to prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of Christ in 4 weeks. Let's begin in prayer as we begin every program. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as Mike and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Michael McCabe, all right, co-worker of mine, phenomenal educator, has committed his entire professional career to Catholic education. Right now, he currently chairs the theology department at LaSalle College High School, and he also serves as a campus minister. I'm going to talk about that. For those people that aren't familiar with LaSalle College High School, it is, I can promise you this, and having been here for only 3 months, but having the opportunity to bear witness as a parent, they are educating the entire person there, mind, body, and spirit, and I know I'm just thrilled to be there as a cog in the wheel. So many amazing people, but none more amazing than our guest tonight, Mike McCabe. Mike, welcome to the program.
Joe, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome.
Really excited.
Mike's a graduate of LaSalle University 2012 with a degree in history and theology. He then went on to earn his master's in theology from LaSalle University, where he specialized in contemporary spirituality, prayer, and biblical spirituality. And he is on his way to becoming a lifer at LaSalle High School.
Been here 10 years, graduated. My whole life, LaSalle can be the answer.
It is the answer, no doubt. And then him and his wife, Liz, who's a phenomenal educator as well, we're blessed to have her at LaSalle, too. They reside in Jenkintown, and they're active members of St. Raymond Pentefort Parish under the former tutelage of Father Chris Walsh, who's now at St. Cecilia's, but we'll talk about his involvement there in the parish as well. So, again, Mike, welcome to the program, and I'm thrilled to have you.
Yeah, Joe, thanks again. It's just a wonderful opportunity to be here.
Awesome. Talk about your upbringing, you know, family, school, you know, early, you know, you're still, I would consider, still a young gun.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the back nine. You have the whole thing in front of you.
Relatively.
You and Liz have it all in front of you. So, but talk about your upbringing, your family, and your education.
Yeah. I grew up in Jenkintown, so my family was involved, predating me at Immaculate Conception for many years. But like my parents, I actually went to Jenkintown middle and elementary school. And when we got to eighth grade, it was time for a switch. And luckily, we were in a position where LaSalle was an option for me. And that's where I met the Christian Brothers, met LaSallian Education, which has become what I feel is my vocation. It's my calling.
Absolutely.
All that we do, I couldn't have put it better than you put it in our introduction today. Really, it's about teaching minds, touching hearts, and the connection between our community that your sons, I know, felt.
Yep.
Because I was fortunate enough to have taught them. And we feel as teachers, and we feel with our students that we get to work with, there's just nothing quite like it.
No, there really isn't. And I certainly didn't have the opportunity to go to LaSalle. But, when as I got to become familiar with the LaSallian mission of brotherhood, it's more mentor than it is figure of authority.
Absolutely.
You know, and I feel like I think that's where the influence is expanded and makes it, I don't want to say non-traditional, but the reality is, as you and I both know, the big brother sometimes has more influence than an authoritative figure.
100%.
In terms of shaping the person and laying the foundation, particularly for the spiritual foundation that St. John Baptiste de La Salle sought as his mission with the education component. did you look at any other high schools, or was La Salle the one for you?
La Salle was the one for me, and the thing that brought me to La Salle, not just the faith aspect, but I was a musician, and our music program is second to none. So I had a relationship from some summer programs with Joe Chichimaro, who's a long time music teacher at La Salle, a legend in our community. And because of that connection, it was kind of like, this is where I need to be. And I was lucky enough to be involved in the music program all 4 years, was in the competition band for 3 years.
Awesome.
In our shows and plays and the pit orchestra. And I just knew that was the level of opportunity I was looking for.
Sure.
That wasn't going to be provided if I stayed at a, wonderful public school like Jenkintown, but a small school.
Sure. You know what? It's funny that this wasn't part of our designated conversation, but I want to go off on this a little bit. The power of music with faith.
Absolutely.
You know, I was having this conversation on Saturday morning with my wife, and I think everybody in my family is kind of, I think I have an appreciation affinity for music, but I think I'm number five in that on that rung. But like, Christian rock and K-Love and, Souls on Fire, Third Day and Matthew Marr Camp and all, all the tremendous, some of whom are Catholic, many of whom aren't Catholic, but, their ability to make faith relevant. And I think it was Augustine that said, "He who sings prays twice." And I know that appeal has really helped our faith life as a family. And I think that's kind of, a late add-on for me in my journey. Cause I always, I viewed church music as sterile and kind of stoic and not quite relevant, but it's really, I know music, Christian music has really invigorated my faith life.
100%. And to that point, my wife and I, as you said, we live in Jenkintown, but we worship and have worshiped for the last, since we started dating, because she was the one who brought me into St. Raymond Penafort. And the reason we fell in love with that community is not just Father Chris Walsh, who's an amazing homilist and preacher, but the music.
Absolutely.
And the vibrant community that surrounds it.
Sure.
It's incredible. It's second to none in terms of the experience, the fact that, sometimes you're looking for a mass without music, or some people might be. And I understand that too. Quiet, contemplative, that's wonderful.
Sure.
But man, there's nothing quite like praising the Eucharist in such a way.
So dramatic way.
Yeah, absolutely. So music absolutely is part and parcel to my understanding of faith.
I'm with you there, brother.
Music is language that extends across barriers.
Yeah.
Just like our faith is.
Absolutely. What a special place St. Raymond's is. I'm an old timer and, I know they were part of, I think Region 11 100 years ago and in basketball, and it's been a mainstay there in Mount Airy for years. But, I know the first time we went there as a family, one of the things you try and teach young people is the universality of Catholicism. And I think a lot of times when you're in suburban America, you think, oh, it's a religion for white America or white middle class America. And then, it was such a cool experience for me. When we went there as a family, it's probably, Chris was there, but it was probably in his early tenure there. But, it was just awesome because it was like the way it widened all of our children's lenses. And it was like, wow, this is like, God, the Catholic faith has a role for way more people than just suburban white America, and the inclusivity there. And, you know, we were talking pre-show that, you know, people like that want to be a part of that, that may not even necessarily be Catholic mm-hmm. by denomination. And that was Christ at his best, right? Meeting people where they were, but
absolutely.
Just a really inclusive community and just a, definitely a, an amazing vibe. And that's a, that'll be, you know, I know the new pastor is going to do amazing things there, but that's a tough job to walk into replacing, you know, Father Walsh, who is just an, like you said, an amazing priest, an amazing disciple of Christ, amazing homilist. And, you know, he's off to great things at St. Cecilia's. There's no doubt.
Amen.
So you chair the theology department at LaSalle, and you've also that's served right. as a campus minister.
A relatively new role as campus minister.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love coming from a diocesan school at Pope John Paul, where I served as the athletic director. I love the fact that nothing's mandatory at LaSalle.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, that obligatory gun to the, you know, proverbial gun to the head, like, hey, you got to volunteer and you need service hours. And, you know, I would quip that, like, you know, when it's mandatory and you're filling out those last minute forms at the end of the year, half of the kids are lying anyway, you know. But I love the fact that, and that there's so many outreach programs at LaSalle and so many ways to get involved. And I really believe when I try and sell LaSalle, you know, for what it is, I really believe the lens of the LaSalle graduate is so much wider than most because of their campus ministry and their outreach. And I just think like that, yeah, there's great programs and there's great, you know, robotics and science and debate, which you're involved in, and they're great programs. But I really believe it's the foundation of LaSalle High School is in the big picture and their ability for these kids to give back and to see how important, you know, what is it? What's the mantra? Enter to leave to serve.
Right? Enter to learn, leave to serve.
Yeah. And that's yep. not a fancy, mantra that's on brochures. I mean, those kids really leave that.
No, that is not a marketing slogan.
Yeah.
That is a lived reality in our school community that we're so lucky. And I think, to your point, there are two, to go back to the brotherhood that makes a LaSallian education special. There are two experiences, both of which are voluntary, that change our young men's lives. And as faculty member, I've been privileged to be a part of many of them. And that is our summer service programs. And that's not to say that our weekly service programs isn't revolutionary,
sure.
isn't inspiring. But when you live in community with your classmates and teachers for a week, and
sure.
go to a community outside of your own to experience new culture, new place, new food, sometimes new language, together. That's an incredible bonding
no
experience.
Doubt.
And you leave probably most changed by someone you barely knew
yeah.
when you entered that trip, whether it was someone from your destination. Like I've led the Project Appalachia service trip probably 7 or 8 times in my career.
Mm.
And I love it. Love the people of West Virginia, love Greenbrier County, love Almost Heaven Habitat for Humanity, love the work that we do. But I love getting to see the kids take charge.
Sure.
And approach apprehensive on Monday on the job site. And by Friday afternoon, you think they've been working construction for 6 years.
There's no more banker's hands. There's calluses.
Yeah,
there.
That's right. The way that they carry themselves at
sure.
least.
No doubt.
And that's revolutionary.
And that's where the special sauce lies in for LaSalle, right?
100%.
It's not the math program, or it's that literal transformation that takes place with an experience like that.
To eat, pray, and just live in community for a week together.
Yep.
You're going to bond.
Absolutely.
And the second experience, I just got back from our 152nd Kairos, was the first one that I was privileged enough to direct.
Mm.
Kairos is that other experience
sure.
that cements that bond for a lot of the same reasons.
Sure.
You're sharing, you're caring, but you're living in community,
sure.
sharing meals, prayer, liturgy, and experiences across a dynamic group of people. We had 46 retreatants, 8 student leaders, 7 other adults plus myself, so a large group. And I would say that a good amount of our graduates would come back and say, Kairos changed my life.
100%. And I think to me, again, the great thing I think about LaSalle, which, you know, truly makes it one of a kind, is, you know, the male mentorship that's modeling like vulnerability, you know, in, you know, like a Kairos, like putting mm-hmm. yourself out there and, you know, and kids seeing the when you talk about surrendering to your, you know, your God, and not just showing that, but supporting when it's done in its kind of unadulterated form, you know, when you go away at Kairos and, you know, that, you know, certainly, you know, I bore witness to that transformation too.
Sure. Your boys went through it and they were both leaders.
Yeah. And, I mean, they still talk about, you know, and for my kids, you know, it really wasn't a Kai High. It's really a life changing experience for them. Both different times. Catholic education, mm-hmm. okay, where, you know, and I say this, like, the challenge that you have in theology, right? Like, when if you and I are both freshmen, or let's say we're freshmen incoming students from Jenkintown, and, you know, we take the placement test, and, you know, you test into, you know, geometry, pre-calc, and I test into Algebra 1, you know, there's a placement, so to speak, of where I belong in my curriculum. And then, you know, you have religion, right, which is, you know, you don't have that luxury. And then you have, you know, you have the Catholic, the practicing Catholic, you know, you have the non-practicing Catholic that may not have been inside a church since baptism.
Mm-hmm.
You have the non-Catholic Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Muslim or the, mm-hmm. you know, the Jewish, you know, somebody of the Jewish faith. And yet it's the same curriculum. How daunting of a task is that?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Because also to add to that list is a growing number of nuns.
Sure.
With no religious experience.
Sure.
Showing up at LaSalle or any Catholic school, yeah. really, because they're there for other reasons.
Sure.
But it is a privilege to get to work with them, to explore. Now, it's a challenge. I would say, as chair, you know, I've received a number of parent emails saying the freshman curriculum is too hard, too challenging, or the freshman curriculum is too easy. My son
sure.
has known all this. Because we got to meet the middle 80%
no doubt.
Here. The freshman curriculum is really meant, in line with the Conference of Catholic Bishops curriculum, is really meant to introduce our students to what it means to be Catholic and what it means to be LaSallian. And especially the overlap between the two, that
sure.
middle of that Venn diagram. Because to be LaSallian is not only Catholic. There are LaSallian schools in Pakistan where most of the non-brothers who teach there are practicing Muslims.
Sure.
But to be LaSallian at its core is to be Catholic, because we're inspired, sure. obviously, by St. John Baptist de La Salle. So to introduce them, what does it mean to be Catholic? What are the essentials of our faith? And what does it mean to be here at LaSalle College High School? What's that mission? That comes back again in our curriculum senior year to kind of a good full circle, mirror image of each other. To get everybody's feet wet a little bit, because even if you're practicing Catholic, there's still some good review
sure.
in there about the essentials of the why we believe what we believe.
Sure.
But, you know, they're unless they're coming from LaSalle Academy in Philadelphia, they're not coming from a LaSallian
sure.
school. So there's always something new to be learned. That leads into sacred scripture, and we do a full year, Old Testament, first semester, New Testament, end of first semester, and the rest of the second semester. And, you know, that I think is a really great class to engage across religious background.
Yeah.
You know, because you could end up at Penn State one day and be taking a class as the Bible as literature, right?
Sure.
You can engage in the text. And perhaps that leads to something deeper. Perhaps that leads to a conversation.
Sure.
Perhaps that
seeds
leads
are planted.
To... We're planting seeds. And
yep.
that's really what religious education in 2022 is all about. We got to plant seeds so that
Absolutely.
One day they can be sown. And, you know, one thing that I would correct is we are at LaSalle Religion Department. And I think the distinction is theology is the academic study.
Gotcha.
Religion is where that academic study meets the praxis. How is what we're doing at LaSalle College High School, and this is what We had a recent department meeting. We challenged our teachers, and they, I think, have really taken up the call. How, what we teaching, informing a deeper connection for our students with themselves, others, and God? And how do those three things fit together in the core of who
they
are?
Well, let me ask you this, and playing devil's advocate, isn't that more spirituality than not religion?
Well, 100%. But I would say authentic spirituality has to be tied with religion.
I gotcha. All right, that makes sense.
Authentic spirituality, meaning that which provides meaning, purpose, and value to our existence. And for us as Catholics, that comes from the center of our faith, from
Absolutely.
The Eucharist, from the sacraments. I would also say that we plant seeds because some of the religious language isn't there yet.
Sure.
But over 4 years, 4 years of experience, 4 years of going to Mass, 4 years of service opportunities, if they choose to pursue one, going on retreats all 4 years.
Sure.
But Kairos being one of them. Those seeds get planted and suddenly the religious language clicks with what they already know about themselves.
Sure.
And that's where... That's a transformative experience.
No doubt. I'm amazed. You know, I think we've had, I think, two masses and a prayer service in the first semester. And, you know, with a rising number of non-Catholics or non, you know, nuns that you call them, or, you know, the non-traditional mm-hmm. Catholic student, amazed at the reverence that all of our students show around the Mass.
Yeah.
The sacramental yeah. Mass. And I think that's no... It's no accident, number one, and it's really, you know, the reverence behind the experience is that's incredibly expected from all of us, Catholic or non-Catholic.
Yeah, two things that I can speak on to that is that that's something the department takes seriously.
Yeah,
you know, say that, you know, even if you're not Catholic, that's fine, but here's what's going on.
Sure,
and here's why this is really important to us. And I think our students, they get it. Yeah. They're respectful and they want to learn. And second, they see their teachers, who they have a connection to.
Sure.
Being a key part of the Mass.
Let me ask you this, and I don't, and I'm asking this out of ignorance, but is that something that you just address when they come, or is that part of the preliminary evaluation when you're when a non-Catholic's applying to the school, or is that just something, hey, we'll get them right come September through October, and the expectations will be, you know, communicated and adhered to, or is that part of any initial process?
Great question. We do our heaviest lift at the beginning of the school year.
Sure.
We have a freshman teaching Mass where we go to the chapel. In the past, when a schedule is worked out, we've been able to bring in a couple priests that are good friends to our community to really just talk about the parts of the Mass, talk about the order, the responses, why, all those kind of key questions.
Sure.
And then it's a review in religion class. It is. And it's something that we do every year. It's worth reviewing because, you know, it's for our students who are not Catholic over the summer. I mean, you know, they forget everything
sure.
that they've learned. It's
From yesterday.
From yesterday, let alone trying to remember what was told at the beginning of freshman year.
Sure.
Right? So it is an annual review. But then by the time they're juniors and seniors, I think things start to click.
Sure.
And especially when you're a young man in a crowd of 1,000 other young men, you're going to follow what the leaders are doing.
Sure.
And our senior class, I think, has always been the class that
sets the tone.
And I think in particular, this senior class
That's
has
awesome.
Done a really good job of setting a reverent tone.
That's
and
awesome.
Kind of the rest falls into place, you know?
Yeah, you can definitely see that. Not holding a gun to your head, but and maybe, you know, just kind of off topic a little bit. LaSalle, based on where we are, mm-hmm. reputation, performance, numbers, you know, I think we're kind of recession-proof, you know? We're blessed to have great numbers and great reputation, and
yeah.
and really, to me, it comes down to the stability of the workforce too. It's like
absolutely.
You have people there that are ingrained and committed to the experience of our men. Obviously, the number of alums that are back there you know, kind of able to share the transformative experience that they had years ago. But in your opinion, like in Philadelphia, let's say in 10 years, what does Catholic education look like in 10 years? Diocesan Catholic education, not LaSalle or Malvern or Gwinnett or the Mount.
You know, it's a tough question. I certainly don't want to upset anybody.
Sure.
Schools that are shrinking, you know, I don't know how long some of them can hang on. I hope so, because it's better for everybody if all of our Catholic schools are strong.
Absolutely.
It's better for our church. It's better for our faith life. It's better for our sports teams at LaSalle College High School. If Conwell Egan is strong,
no doubt,
that's a good thing for everybody. I think, though, that the historically strong schools will always be around. You know, I don't think anything's ever going to happen to a Roman Catholic.
Sure.
But just given what the Catholic League was in 2007,
oh, no doubt,
when I was getting ready to graduate, and you think about the schools that are no longer on that list and been taken down from that wall, North, Doherty,
McDevitt.
You know, when I was a student, Bonner and Prendy were separate schools. So, you know, I don't think that trend is going away.
Yeah.
I don't think that trend is going away. And there's a lot of complicating factors. You could get into the history of Catholic education and the lack of religious in terms of staffing schools.
Sure.
Which is just from a pure dollars and cents standpoint. Yeah. You know, a layperson, you have to pay. A sister or brother.
Sure.
Just need to pay for boarding.
Sure.
Really. So there's a lot, and I don't want to oversimplify a really complicated problem. But yeah, I don't think that trend is going to suddenly reverse itself.
Yeah. I think we're postponing the inevitable to some extent.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And then you have the financial component where, you know, you need, you know, tuition paying customers to kind of keep the doors open. And then at some point, how much of it's going to be subsidized, and what are the ramifications with that?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Who have been some of your? I know you have a deep faith, and you live it as well as anybody I know. Who have been some of your mentors in your journey?
Yeah, excellent question. In high school, I've made a special connection with a woman named Diana McInall. And she was a longtime teacher at LaSalle. She taught me Christian morality. And I just saw her as such a compassionate face of Jesus. And I was lucky enough one day that she would be department chair when it was time to apply for a job
LaSalle.
So in high school, I would say it was now Diana, a good friend. She was at Liz and I's wedding. Brought up the gifts at our wedding.
That's
so
awesome.
In high school, it was her being able to see her as, you know, this is what faith looks like in terms of how we treat people and how she wants us to feel when we step into her classroom.
That's awesome.
And that's something that I try to model every day with my students. In college, I would put kind of two people on that path, and both from both disciplines. So I graduated with a degree in theology and a degree in history. Because I thought, to be honest, I was going to teach history. That's, you know, what I love to talk about, love to do. And kind of fell into teaching religion. And really, in college, I would say, I took religion as just like, well, this will increase my odds of getting a job.
Sure, yeah, no doubt.
You know, if I can't teach history, I can teach religion. I could teach both if there's a part-time gig, you know. So I just wanted to keep my options open, but it was always something I was fascinated by and exploring and deepening my own faith while studying academically. I was like, this is great. I love it. So two people in religious discipline, Father Frank Berna, who was the director of the graduate program at LaSalle University in theology. And, you know, I think I had five classes as an undergraduate with Father Frank and three graduate
That's
classes.
Awesome.
Phenomenal teacher. I was honored to bring him back or invite him back. I should say, I didn't bring him back. I invite him back, and he said our November 1st All Saints Mass.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool.
So it was great to now be in this role to say, hey, could you come and speak to this community? And he was great.
He was great. He was awesome.
So to hear his perspective on faith and to kind of fit together, you know, he's an intellectual. But for him to take something that's way, you know, up here, pie in the sky, and bring it down
to
this is what I'm taking away, while still holding your feet to the fire, and you have to write a 12 to 15 page paper on this stuff. You know, incredible stuff. And then for the vocation of teaching, Brother Ed Sheehy, who still teaches at LaSalle, he's the longtime basketball chaplain, traveled with the team when they went to the Sweet 16 back in 2013. I truly minored in Brother Ed Sheehy. I had him six times.
That's awesome.
And he was the one who's like, this is what being a LaSallian educator, even his brother, but being a LaSallian educator means in terms of what he shares on a daily basis. And before you even get to history, like, he is someone who cares about his students. He cares about the people in the seats, first and foremost, you even get to history.
And you're the same way, brother. I can promise you that.
Thank you.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back after these messages with Mike McCabe from LaSalle College High School.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Traynor, with Department Chair of the Religion Program at LaSalle College High School, Mike McCabe. Mike, one of the last things I want to talk about LaSalle before we get into some other the curriculum, but you're working at a single sex school with all with all boys. You lived it, right?
Yeah,
as a student,
lived
you're,
it.
You know, you're living it as an educator. What are the benefits of the single sex education? And twofold, if you were teaching at a co-ed school, how would your approach be different?
That's a great question. One that I haven't actively thought about, so it's going to take me a little second to get that, I guess, because I've never taught at a co-ed school.
Sure.
But to answer your first, benefits of a single-sex environment. For young men to be in a single-sex environment, I think it just makes everyone a little bit more comfortable with being themselves. There is no act to put on.
Sure.
And I see that in a daily basis in terms of what's shared in faith and religion class, but just how our community responds to, say, like the jazz band assembly.
Sure.
Never seen a group of young men go crazier for their classmates.
Absolutely.
Who are playing a trombone solo. It's incredible. It's the best day of the year.
Absolutely.
And just to have that level of comfort where it's not about impressing
Pretense, yeah.
anybody or putting on that I'm – I'm number one.
The mask.
Everybody's
right?
trying to figure out who am I and kind of where do I fit in and where are my people here?
Yep.
That, frankly, you know, to be on Kairos last week and a young man talking about all of his achievements in robotics and some of the kids who are on the, you know, captains of different teams,
sure.
wrestling and golf, being like, that's amazing. Like, they are so impressed by what he does. Whereas, you know, the stereotype of high school would be quite the opposite, right?
Yep.
And that doesn't happen. And I think the level of comfort of being around just guys that you can truly call your brothers.
Sure.
Without pretense. How I would change, you know, I don't know that I would too much. I sometimes, you know, I can use some humor and some sarcasm.
Sure.
And especially with seniors, and they get it, and they laugh, and it's a good way to diffuse tension sometimes.
Sure.
I don't know if I would do that in a co-ed environment.
Makes sense.
You know, you don't want to stereotype. I would say high school boys can kind of wash off, equip a little easier.
Yep.
I'm not mad at them. They know that.
Sure.
And they know I care. But other than that, I think I'd just be myself, because I think the best teacher is someone who the kids see and say, that guy is authentic.
Amen.
That woman is authentic. They live themselves. And I would say that to be anybody else, they'll see right through that.
Absolutely.
They'll see right through that.
Especially young boy, you know, 14, 15, 16 year old. 100%.
And those are the teachers that don't make it, I think.
Sure.
But they'll respect who you are.
Absolutely.
If you let them know who you are in a loving way. But
definitely.
That's the key.
That's awesome. Well, you know, one of the things I love about our faith is, you know, we have so many different platforms to worship. You know, we have, obviously, you have the sacramental mass, right, where that's the greatest miracle of all. But you have confession, you have adoration, you have novenas, you have saintly intercession, you have the rosary, you have the stations of the cross. I mean, there's so many different platforms, which make it special because the goal is to draw in union and relation with Christ, and we can do it through so many avenues.
Absolutely.
You know, as opposed to maybe some of our Christian counterparts that, you know, other than I'm not saying the scripture's not enough, because it is enough,
mm-hmm.
but what are some that you're attracted to or kind of at the foundation of your faith journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned at the top of the program, my degree is in contemporary spirituality, which centered on a lot of the work of Thomas Merton, and particularly contemplative prayer. So I would say in some of the list that you gave out, two stand out. Adoration is one. And the reason being that it gives you time, space, and quiet to be directly with Jesus and be directly with God.
Mm.
And to be able to then center yourself in that moment, in the present reality, in the spirit of Thomas Merton, or any of the, you know, contemporary spiritual thinkers.
Sure.
To sit in that moment, recognize the moment for what it is, and just to be with God. That, to me, is perhaps one of the most powerful individual experiences.
Absolutely.
And then on the other side, I would say reconciliation. You know, I would say the central point of our faith, one of, maybe not the central point, but a central point of our faith is forgiveness. Think about the number of parables that center on,
sure.
on forgiveness. Prodigal son's my favorite biblical story.
Sure.
There is. And it's not just because it's God's forgiveness of us, but in the human story, we're going to play all three roles.
Absolutely.
And we need to recognize when we are the scornful older brother.
Yep.
When we're the prodigal and need to say, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Or when we're the unconditional loving father.
Amen.
And we need to say, I forgive you. Welcome home to whatever cause. So reconciliation and penance is, I think, the other essential piece of our faith.
That's awesome.
To experience God's unconditional love and forgiveness. It's just a powerful, feels like a weight's been lifted
off
of you.
Absolutely. Not to mention the sacramental grace that we'll receive when we go there.
Absolutely.
So I mean, that's incredible too. You know, I'm thinking about Richard Rohr and some of the, you know, the mm-hmm. contemplatives, you know, in today, and I'm being significantly older than you. I feel like I didn't come into contemplative thought or mindset probably until the last 5 years of my life when somebody gave me Richard Rohr, Falling Upward.
Mm-hmm. Great book.
Yeah, phenomenal book. And I think part of my challenge was you have so many resuscitated prayers, right? In the Catholic prayer manual, right? The ones in Mass where it's the Apostles' Creed and the act, you know, all of them, the act of contrition, and then you have the, you know, then we were praying the Rosary and then the Novenas and the Stations, and you know, and then you come to realize, at least I did in later adult life, that you know, you can't listen and talk at the same time.
Absolutely.
You know, and certainly in the last 3 to 4 years of my life, you know, the stillness of adoration, you know, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And just being present to what he's trying to communicate to you in the silence and the stillness, is incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And it's something that I try to do on a daily basis. But when you're carving out space of quiet, particularly in adoration, it's just, you're just that much more in an intimate conversation with
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
Being physically present.
No doubt. Let me ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. Okay. I'm a ninth grader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're dropping seeds along the way, right? Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like the inspiring teacher that you are. You're kind of, you know, you're being provocative and challenging, you know, deeper thought, you know, coming up with deeper meaning. And kid comes to you and says, "Mr. McCabe, I don't know how to pray."
Mm.
Okay, help me. Mm-hmm. What are you saying to him?
That's it's an essential question because, frankly, I think a good number of our ninth graders, whether they would say that or not,
no doubt,
are thinking that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we come back to this in senior year, and there is a whole unit on prayer in the freshman curriculum, which I think is essential. I said, well, I would say to that young man, I would turn it around and say, well, what are you doing that's not working?
Right. Amen.
And he might say, well, I don't know. I said, I would then say, well, have you just tried talking to God? And I said, if you treat God like a friend, you're going to get a lot further than treating him like someone who you never
met. Way out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you just start talking and just see what happens? Have a conversation. And I said, I can give you some prayers. We could talk about some prayers and why we pray them and their meaning. And they're great kind of starting and entry points and exit points. But in the middle, why don't you just try talking?
Yep.
See what happens. See how your heart feels. See what your core of your being feels
That's
like.
Awesome. It's great advice.
And go from there. And come back to me in a week or, you know, if it's Friday, why don't we talk on Monday? And come back and let me know how it went. And we'll go from there. Just an entry point.
That's awesome. That's great advice. I mean, as you were saying, Thomas Merton, I try and start my daily, my routine off every day. And I love this prayer. You know, it starts off, "Dear God, mm-hmm. I don't know where I'm going. And I see the road ahead of me. And just because I think I'm following your will doesn't mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe the desire to please you does in fact please you. Give me that desire in everything I do."
Yeah.
Sometimes we are lost and I'm doing things that I think are, you know, mm-hmm. are pleasing, but hopefully the desire, even when it's misplaced, is pleasing to the
Absolutely.
Lord. And the effort is you know, he's, and I know he appreciates the effort. I want to talk about, go back to campus ministry for a second. You know, and I'm talking about, you know, as my roles as a counselor, right, I have, it's more life skills. You know, I'm blessed to be able to teach 1 to 2 classes a day over the 8-day cycle that we have at LaSalle, and, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm trying to, you know, sink my teeth into you know, just things that are relevant for ninth graders at LaSalle, and you know, some of them, you know, we spend a cycle on grit and resilience, and then, you know, you do the perfunctory study mm-hmm. skills and some of that stuff, but the last two we focused on mental health. We, you know, last week was stress, and then this week we're talking about general anxiety disorder and, you know, its impact with social media and how mm-hmm. that plays into it. But read a great book this summer it was called The Wonder Drug. And it really it was a transformative book for me because it talks about, you know, being other-centered,
mm-hmm.
right? When we're other-centered, you know, the chemicals that are released in your brain, serotonin, mm-hmm. oxytocin, you know, and the biology that changes when we're other-centered as opposed to being self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And the intentionality with LaSalle with that message, just in terms of community outreach, and I'm starting off my group advisory, that began last Monday before Thanksgiving, you know, I started to dig into the word anxiety in the Bible, and there was over 25 references to anxiety, or don't be anxious, you know, mm-hmm. put your trust in the Lord, and you know, I listed about 5 or 6 of them. It just goes to show you the brilliance of the, you know, of God and the Bible, because, you know, 2000 years ago, you know, here we are when anxiety and stress is like, you know, at epidemic levels. And, I personally really believe that, a lot of that can be attributed to a lack of faith.
100%.
And,
the research backs you up.
The science backs us up too. And, you know, the when we're other centered, you know we volunteer at John, you know, McGrath does an mm-hmm. and Liz, you know, they partner in their community outreach, your wife and the number of kids they have, but the gist of the book was, hey, we all want a pill, right? I'm 80 pounds overweight. When I go to my doctor, I want the doctors prescribe me some medicine that's going to increase my metabolism and shed. But if I do the work and I eat less and exercise more, the weight will come off, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with sometimes with anxiety and depression,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they're saying, hey, we're scientists. We're not theologians. We're not social scientists. But we're here to tell you that the data tells us if you want to lower your level of stress, anxiety, and depression, be other-centered.
100%.
And I think LaSalle does an amazing job with that. Is that how did that get ingrained? And you being around LaSalle mm-hmm. for, you know, 18 years now, 10 as an educator, and you know, really 8 years of LaSallian education from mm-hmm. the high school to the college. What is it about that challenges the students to do that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the core of, if you were to define LaSallian education and go back to, here are the 5 pillars of what it means to be LaSallian, and I think we do them so well. Quality education, check. Preferential option for the poor. Core of our faith, Catholic social teaching, core of our school. An inclusive community, respect for all persons. And you're talking about those 3 in particular.
Sure.
They are the reason to do service and what it means to have a preferential option as opposed to just doing good deeds. Right? That means you stand in solidarity with. You are not just serving for, you're serving with. I think a good way to put, you talked about the outreach program that Liz and our coworker John McGranahan work with. They're very intentional. They are serving meals to guests. They are not serving meals to the homeless. Mm. They are not serving meals to the poor. They are serving meals and sharing in meals with guests.
Mm.
And when you flip that message of hospitality, it's truly about being other-centered. It's not about what I'm doing.
Sure.
It's not a savior complex. It's about what are we sharing in table fellowship,
yep.
even if that table is on the parkway downtown. So I think to the core of who we are as a LaSallian school, and we've been in existence since 1863. So clearly, you know, that is core in terms of our affiliation with the De La Salle Christian Brothers and St. John Baptist De La Salle, is not just service for, but service with.
Amen.
And I think that's a key thing that culture takes time to build. And I would say that culture predates my work in campus ministry. I would say probably predates my time as a student at LaSalle College High School. But it's a tradition that I'm I'm privileged and blessed to carry on as a member of our mission ministry team of three campus ministers and our director of mission, Mr. Lou Clark.
You know, and I say to people anytime they're looking at LaSalle, and I've said this probably 50 times since I started working here, but everyone gets a seat at the table at LaSalle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the truth, and it's not just kind of coach speak or bulletin board, you know, pamphlet material that you're putting out there. It really is, you know, that's a lived mission from both teachers and students.
Absolutely, and you know, we are running 10 service trips this summer for rising seniors, 12 spots on each, so 120 guys will go. We were running, I think, 4 with 30 on each for rising juniors.
Mm.
They're going to be in Atlantic City, the junior ones. So,
and what? Give me just for audience. What?
Yeah.
Where for the senior ones? Where will you go with them?
It's a great question. We're spread out around the world, to be honest. We have one that's going to Naples, to a LaSallian school in Naples. We have one that goes to the De La Salle Blackfeet School on the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana. The Navajo Nation, Appalachia, Florida, the Gulf Coast, and hurricane recovery, and almost everywhere in between. Puerto Rico to LaSallian School in Puerto Rico to do some service there.
So, does the student fundraise for that, or how does that work?
Yeah, the student fundraises, but we do have scholarships available for our young men who would not be able to afford those opportunities.
But want to participate.
The Julie Mayer Fund is one of those scholarships.
Okay.
But to your point, you can't have those trips without faculty buy-in.
Sure.
The fact that you're sending two or three faculty members to each of those places, it's a lot of faculty. It's of people who have their summers off saying, with my students to go to an area to expand my own horizons is why I teach at a place like LaSalle College High School, as opposed to being a public school teacher.
Sure.
I mean,
it really is a vocation. I mean, it's
100%.
Yeah. It's definitely not a job. This isn't a political show, so I'm not going to go there, but I do want to get your input. You mm-hmm. know, the Catholic Church, right? We seem pretty fractured right now, you know, issues
sure.
of life and orientation and immigration and capitalism, socialism, and you know, I just want to get your take. We've survived, you know. Sometimes I feel like, you know, we're in a desolate time for our church, but we've experienced these divisions and these schisms for, you know, for since the beginning of, you know, since Christ was walking the earth.
I think it was about 2,000
years.
Yeah,
right. But it appears in the last 5 years or so that as much as that things that once united us are now like dividing us.
Mm.
Is it just, you know, hey, this is the new version of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, or I know dogma, you know, the church doctrine, you know, doesn't change, you know, certainly some interpretations do, but is there another schism that happens, or are we kind of just, we're evolving to a multifaceted faith?
Yeah. A lot there to unpack.
It was a lot there, and that wasn't very fair. I'm sorry.
No, quite all right. What I would say to be succinct with it is, you know, I feel like probably, as with all issues in today's world, it seems worse than it is because of the access to social media.
You're right. Yeah.
And that's true about our church too. You see theologians, members of the religious communities that would be identified as left or right in the church on social media,
sure.
sometimes going back and forth at each other.
Sure.
That obviously wouldn't have happened
200 years ago,
yeah. 1970 even,
yeah,
you know,
right.
after the Second Vatican Council. So I think that has amplified our attention to those existing schisms, if you will, for lack of a better word. But what I would say is that, you know, ultimately, we could hopefully set aside those differences when we think about what is the core of the faith. And that's living in the fullness of Jesus Christ and our triune God, yeah. Right? Does that happen on a daily basis? Not always, but we're flawed. We all are. And I think that's important to remember when we're looking at other people, that we don't judge their opinions. Does that mean that doesn't happen? No, because we're flawed. I don't think we're heading towards a schism. But, you know, you can't say that there aren't religious figures who have been highly critical of Francis, of Pope Francis, in ways that perhaps no pope in recent memory
sure.
would have experienced.
Gotcha. I went by a Methodist church probably 6 months ago, and the sign I'd sign out front said, "Hey, your job is to love everybody. Let me figure out the rest."
That's
the truth. Yeah, it's the truth, because that's what you know that's what Christ would have done, and you know we tend to get cemented in our polarized points, but you know, we're taught to love everybody.
Yeah. And social media creates an echo chamber, right?
Yeah.
You can tailor your responses, everything, to be only things that you want to hear.
Absolutely.
So that doesn't make the uncomfortability of compromise easier, right?
Sure.
I think it's just made it more ingrained.
Yeah.
In our world in a number of ways.
Yeah. Let me ask you this as we're kind of winding down here, mm-hmm. the next couple minutes. You know, we were talking about Father Chris Walsh and mm-hmm. what a dynamic disciple he is, and his inclusivity and his ability to just, you know, bring the word to the masses, right? And, you know, Monsignor Vance over at SPN, mm-hmm. the now retired Monsignor, who was like that. Your priest. Maybe it's because I'm an old fart now, but I always have mad respect for the older traditional clergy member who can still be relevant today.
Sure.
You know, like your mentor at LaSalle University, that we were blessed to hear mm-hmm. you know, last
month. Father Frank.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then obviously, you know, Monsignor Vance. But what is the in terms of church, and I know more and more, you know, with every passing year, the role of the lay person gets mm-hmm. more expanded, but you know, and every time I go by your office, I look at, you know, I tap the sign and I pray for the priest, you know, the
seminarians.
The seminarians.
Yeah, that are posted.
And, you know, but what is that, you know, if numbers continue to dwindle, you know, if the numbers of church growers stays the same, or maybe, God willing, rises, mm-hmm. but the number of church leaders continues to decline, where does that leave us as a faith community?
It's an important question to consider. I would leave a couple thoughts, because I know we're short on time. First is, when you tap that sign, say a special prayer for the two young men that I was privileged to teach, who are
at
now seminaries.
Shout out their names. I did not know that.
Jeremy Puntel, who just entered the seminary,
awesome.
And Tom Cipolla.
I will definitely keep them
in
my purse.
Two graduates. Jeremy graduated 2015. Tom graduated in 2017. And they're both now at the seminary.
That's awesome. St. Charles.
St. Charles.
That's
so keep
awesome.
Them in your prayers and your thoughts.
Definitely.
I'd like to think I had something to do with that.
Absolutely.
But,
seeds were planted.
Seeds
brother.
Maybe were planted. But not so much Tom. Tom knew he was going to be a priest when we met. But,
gotcha.
To your point, what I would say is the church experience in the United States is different than the church experience in the world.
You're seeing that reflective of the ministry.
100%. And some of those same problems that you alluded to are not happening
sure.
elsewhere.
That Central number, America, South America. Yeah.
The church is booming in South America, in Africa. So I think we're on a path towards a much more truly universal Catholic church experience. In terms of priests from not your local area.
Sure.
Maybe one day. Who knows?
Gotcha.
But
awesome.
I think that'll certainly be something for time to tell.
Absolutely. Brother, love having you here, man. Love working with you.
Love being here. This
and,
is great.
Awesome. And best of luck. I'll talk to you tomorrow. God
See
bless.
Ya.
Folks, have a great week. This is Joe Trainer, Souls on Fire, signing off. Have a great one. God bless.